This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at UH1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is Force Center, a show about Star Wars, pop culture, and the ultimate adventure, life itself. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Ken Napsok.
And I'm Jennifer Landa.
And we all did that a little deeper. This is a very special, serious episode. Nope. We're just all gravel-voiced for this episode. This is one of our cues of the other episode, one of our other center episodes. During the strike, of course, we were talking about all sorts of different things and put out a call to our patrons on Patreon for questions about anything basically not directly pop culture, getting a few pop culture questions. But we want to finish up wrapping up some of those questions and look at having some different adventures in the new year as well. But for now, we are having a ton of fun continuing to talk about, you know, life. We want to let you know that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/forcecenter. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. This week, we are recommending Ahsoka by E.K. Johnston. A good time, it feels like, to revisit that novel since we're all still talking about Ahsoka. You can download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/forcecenter one more time. That's audibletrial.com/forcecenter for your free audiobook. We also have an ask. Ken, what is our ask?
We've got an ask today of, hey, why don't you consider heading over to our YouTube page and subscribing? We are trying to grow out that channel. And it's not just about putting our faces on our full episodes over there. Some more things coming. And we have some stuff on there you might want to check out anyways if you haven't been over there. Some in memoriam, some essays, figure fights episodes, 8 of those up there for you to check up on. And while you're there, subscribe so we can help build out that channel. We're looking to get to 7,500 and we're getting closer. And we appreciate your support. Also, we want to highlight that on Friday, December 15th, if you're watching this episode when it dropped, December 15, 2023, just in case you're watching this years from now, we have a live stream, a holiday special, if you will, a Force Center holiday special, 2 p.m. Pacific on our YouTube channel. We got some things planned to talk about Star Wars gifts that we either want, some we've received, and there's going to be a challenge. That's right. There's going to be a challenge that you can help us reach, a little in-show goal. Check it out this Friday on our YouTube channel.
Excellent ask. We're so excited to be able to take all the Star Wars questions you got, all the pop culture questions that you got. Maybe we'll mash them up. Who knows? Maybe we'll talk some Doctor Who and some Kermit. We're just all Kermit obsessed. I don't know.
Yeah.
Should Kermit be the next James Bond? We'll answer that important question. Whatever question you want.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a short answer. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you can pull it off. The first non-British. Well, anyway.
The first Welsh,
Scottish, non-human.
Irish. Yeah, non-human. Yeah, we'll focus on that. That's where the focus should be. All right, let's talk life in Star Wars adventures. It's not just cues we answer. We always like to check up on how Star Wars or other pop culture interacted with our life, or maybe just big life moments in general. Jennifer, what was your week life? Did you have any Star Wars or life adventures?
I just want to be like, pass. I have nothing. My children have been sick for like 3 weeks, almost a month. I'm trying to get my Christmas decorations up. Hasn't happened. I'm just surviving and escaping through Animal Crossing. That is my life right now.
That's a pretty big adventure. So we'll change it to Star Wars life or Animal Crossing adventures. What's the most exciting thing happening on your islands?
Yeah, my island. So I took over my daughter's island. And then, I don't know if I shared this already, but she started playing it. She hasn't played it for like months. And she's like, Mom, I love you. What all the things that you got for me. I was like, oh, I've earned these things. I have worked so hard. I've chopped down trees. I have spent countless hours. And I didn't have the heart to be like, it's mine. It's my island now. I was like, oh, I'm so glad you like it. And I mean, we made it a joke now. But yeah, it is hard because this like during the day she plays it. And then at night I play it and I have to resist reorganizing our home or changing my outfit. I'm like, no, this is her space. I'm just... inhabiting this character.
That seems like a huge life adventure and like a true mother-daughter bonding there.
Yeah, it's been good. And I'm like, I could start a new island, a new character, but I've worked so hard at this point. I can't go back now.
Yeah.
Can't go back.
I've never played. Ken, have you shared an island with another human being? Or is that a level of intimacy you've crossed?
No, I've just watched an island be created and all those bells collected about 2008, 2009 range. And it was fun. It was fun to watch. But no, I haven't played myself. But this is a fascinating. Jen, even when you described it, like I took over my daughter's island. Like I have a vision of you like coming onto shore in some boats and attacking and taking the island is mine. But no, it's a shared experience. And that's tough. And you're doing a great job.
Thank I thought it was you. Like a hostile takeover. Like I bought her island. I own it now.
I've been interacting with my neighbors. I've been giving them gifts and establishing these relationships. Mm-hmm. Tom Nook has come to trust me and value my hard work ethic. We've expanded my home. Like these are big things that I have done. I've sacrificed.
It's a game of diplomacy.
Yeah.
I feel now like you might have accomplished more than I did this week in everything you've accomplished in Animal Crossing. I don't think I've convinced anyone to trust me this week. Well, we'll find out. Ken, how about you? What were your adventures?
Survival's the way to look at it. I'm trying to put a good face on it. It's just been a tough month for me in a lot of ways, and a lot of fear, a lot of how do I survive? So there's been days where it's like, I'm going to shower before noon and that's a win. Mm-hmm. So there's that, but I've been trying to push through all of that. One of the things I've mentioned it in passing, but like I'm getting to the point where I think I'm going to have to part with some of my collectibles and things I've gotten over the years. and going through the storage shed and looking at it. It's too hard. And I know you just went through something similar, Joseph, about putting things into the storage shed it's not just a 6-inch Black Series figure. It represents a time period. It represents a pursuit. It represents a success. I got it, or I was gifted it. And that's just been, it's been a Star Wars lesson in letting go, but I haven't, it's close. I might be, look for me on eBay. It's been a sad, but again, trying to find, this is where I'm at and this is not necessarily where I'm going to stay. And we just had that discussion about Ezra and the Ahsoka series on Tuesday. That actually is kind of where I want to be. This is where I was. I didn't want to be out here on this planet with my enemy, but I've worked through it. And now I'm ready for the next chapter. I'm trying to get to that point. So the Star Wars lessons, even in the darkness.
Yeah, no, I understand. And I think so many things in life feel so frustrating because we're all doing everything we can. But there are things outside of our power. And I think big things as well as personal things with the shattering of social media and looming political crisis. And it feels so often like you push a button and something's supposed to happen and you push a button and just nothing happens. Too bad. Call the service line. Oh, nope. The service line says use the app. Oh, the app says call this. It's a maddening time to be a human along with, you know, whatever else we all kind of individually going through. So I really try to obsess on what is within my power to complete. And even then it gets difficult. So like Thanksgiving weekend, it was the action figures in particular were the what Sarah and I had called the lava table when we put it up, because it was going to be like, don't touch, you can't put anything on it, it'll burn up. Nothing's supposed to be on this table. And then the Force Awakens action figures came out and the pile grew and grew and grew. And so the thing was, I'm going to make a change within my power. Is I'm going to get this lava table cleared off. We're going to put up a little Swedish Christmas tree with this little wooden Christmas tree with just like, it's going to be a lighter Christmas. So we did all that and I felt so accomplished. And I did that by putting many, many action figures and Funko Pops in these four massive bins. We then have not been able to find time to go to our storage unit. So they are still in the middle of the living room in the bins.
Yes.
So I'm very close to actually parting with them, but I can see them there through the bins.
You're stepping around them. Yeah.
Yeah. Getting close. Yeah. I think for me this week, I've been working hard on a script. So I've been in that world. So that's been nice. I've enjoyed lots of pop culture stuff. We were talking off air and I think it's just, I'm at that point where I just need to accept that there's a lot of things to be sad about and it's okay to be sad. It doesn't need to be fixed. I told my wife, like, I have a grumpy little gremlin version of me who's along for the ride for the good and the bad. And that's fine. Within that, I had some really fun things. I went to see Godzilla Minus One. That was fabulous. Huge Doctor Who fan, so really great to have it. It's a triumphant return and on Disney Plus. Amazing. I got some Star Wars reading in. I finally read the second book in Phase 2 of the High Republic, Quest for the Hidden City. And that is the one with the Jedi that that listeners kindly told us about, Slanderous Show with the Shield. And there's lots of just like nice philosophy of like being a Jedi is being the shield, which is a thing I always liked. And it's super literal in this book. So that was a fun Star Wars adventure.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
So, yeah. Well, and I think you should get there when you want to. And that's what's been really good about this is I woke up on Sunday morning and I've been kind of like reading a little chapter at a time and getting sleepy and having to reread them. And it's like, I'm just going to choose to make time for this because I want to. And it was really nice. And it's the way it's got to be. All right. Life adventures, island takeovers, action figure clearing up, all dealt with. We're going to move into our questions. We've got two today. First one comes from Justin Jacobson. Justin says, hello there, center. if that pun fails, it is entirely my fault, says Justin. I often find myself wondering what superpowers I would like to have, even though years of exposure to weird chemicals have given me nothing but rashes. I am usually torn between super healing, to save on medical bills, or teleportation to easily visit relatives that live far away. What superpowers would you like to have? Jennifer, before you even answer the superpowers question, I'm curious about your life arc with superpowers. Did you grow up fantasizing about superpowers? Were superheroes enough a part of your mind as a child that you thought about superpowers as a kid and wanted them?
Not really. Now that I'm thinking about it, I mean, I think the majority of the things that I wanted to do were Jedi things, right? Like the Force push. Yes. That's what I would literally spend my time, like Sabine, trying to move a pen just because I was bored, right? And I'm like, maybe I can. No, I can't. So that's, I think, those are the superpowers that I was drawn to as a child.
Okay. Yeah. I realized I wanted to check myself because I had such an obsessive childhood with all the Force stuff, for sure. I tried to move a stick. I've written about that, talked about that in the yard, trying to move sticks. But I also had such a deep love of comic books. I remember there was one time I told my parents, like, I've accepted I will never be able to turn into ice like Iceman. And they were like, good. We didn't realize that was an issue. We're actually kind of concerned. We know you meant that as good news, but that was alarming news to us. That was something you needed to accept to begin with. So this question's been with me for a long time. Ken, how about you? Did you grow up fantasizing about superpowers?
Just like Jen and both of us, to be clear. But yeah, I didn't spend a lot of time with the superheroes, as I've said before, whether comic books or movies or whatnot growing up. It was Star Wars. And it force pushing, force grabbing. I'll admit to, I thought the idea of force choking looked pretty cool because I had some bullies in my skull. So if I could use that, I don't know if that's the way of the Jedi, but it seemed to work for Vader until it didn't. So there's something about that. But yeah, that's where I spent most of the time. Doesn't mean I haven't been asked or thought about this question before, but very clear where my heart was as a kid. I want to be a Jedi.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it'll be interesting to see how you both translate this then. So Jennifer, what is the superpower you would like to have and why?
For me, it's about productivity and getting things done fast. So it involves maybe flying, or teleportation. Of course, that'd be great. It would save me so much time, not having to be in traffic. I have a tendency to sometimes be, you know, running behind. So bam, I could be right there. And then the second thing would be, again, speed, like the Flash, being able to clean up my house. Done, right? That would be excellent. In terms of like reading people's minds, being invisible, I don't want to go down that road. I don't want to know what people are saying about me or thinking about me. I already have enough anxiety that it just would be way too much. I already care too much about what people think, let alone knowing what they think about me. Forget.
Mm-hmm. I could not agree more about the mind reading. Like even if it was entirely selective and you could choose to do it, there's still those questions of morality and invasion. Yeah. Of thoughts. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, if you ever think you want to be a mind reader, try being a performer where people can leave reviews online. It's just a part of it.
Yes.
Like, to me, it's like, it's one of the great challenges of the human experience of we are only pilots of our individual islands.
Yeah.
And we are by default the main character of our existence. And there's that knowledge of like everybody else is the main character. And they're going to think of me a specific way, and that's totally natural. I understand it's real. I do not want to hear it. I need that illusion that everybody's just walking around going, do-do-do-do-do. Like, you know, it's not even an illusion. It's that reality of, I know they're probably thinking it. I don't need to hear it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good argument against mind reading. But mostly productivity.
Yes.
Super speed.
Super speed.
Teleportation.
Yeah. Getting things done.
Nice. Ken, how about you?
Yeah, same on the mind reading. The YouTube comments are mind reading, and I'm good. You're all good. We don't need that. We don't need them. The full disclosure where I'm at in life, due to what I hope is a clerical error, I have a big phone call tomorrow. I lost my medical insurance. So healing would be great. I'd love self-healing powers right about now. No deductible on that. But the reality is that's not where we're at. And I don't need I'm showing my math. I'm working to my answer. Teleportation or fast travel definitely would work for a lot of journeys. But like I'm flying to Seattle. It's a 2.5 hour. I can't wait to get on that plane and just take that flight up there. I like travel sometimes. I like driving. Not all the time. That's why I maybe having it in reserve. Flexibility, is that a superpower? I need that more than ever now when I get up in the morning. But if I could have, Jen, I think you're in the same ballpark. Like hyper-focus. Is that a superpower where you can just like, and you focus in on that. Like, as I've gotten older, I realize maybe my brain's been working against me a lot more than I thought over my life. What I used to tell people was, if you see a lot of tabs up on my screen and I'm going back and forth between Facebook and an essay and this and that, I'm getting things done. Now it's just, I'm not finishing anything. So, if I could just have that ability to, you know, engage, hyper-focus, and then meanwhile, back at Ken's computer, he gets things done. That's what I would like right now.
Yeah, that is understandable. And there was a conversation that my brother and I had about that kind of painful realization when you're a kid of like, oh, Batman doesn't have any superpowers. He just studied hard and did lots of exercise. Yeah. And then for a while, my mom used that against us as like, you know, you don't need a superpower to clean your room. Batman and Robin would just do that. They just do. Work hard. They get exercise and eat well. They don't have any superpowers. So that's always that awkward, like, oh, maybe I can actually develop the thing that I want. I have a stand-up bit about this, and I've written about this. Of like, we were like, oh wow, well, we could be superheroes. Like, well, maybe we'll dress up as bears. I'll be the honey bear. Because there weren't any bears. And we were telling other kids on the block about, like, you know, Batman and Robin don't have any powers. You can just grow up to be an amazing athlete and dress up like an animal. And the other kid was like, I'm going to be Superman. We're like, you can't be Superman. He's like, I'm going to put metal under my shirt. I'm like, you don't get it, kid. Come on.
You don't get it.
Missing the point.
Not missing the point at all. Jennifer, I'm with you on the productivity, and it, as much as you know, superpowers are a way of psychoanalyzing ourselves, what we're longing for. Freeze time is what jumps to mind. Ooh. If I could freeze time and I don't age, I could. That's the I could clean the house. I could get time to read, but also any problems in the world, I could help. If, for example, you know, I learned that, hey, maybe there's this thing that purports to be a religion, but it's actually a cult, and maybe there's some people in there that want to get out. Freeze time, walk in, walk them out.
That's great.
You know, that kind of thing. You could use it as a helping people superpower, and you could use it to read more, which is clearly what I want.
I like that. Freeze time. It's different from Cher's desires to turn back time, but I like what you're talking about. Do you have like an age? I know you're talking about eras and things going on in the world, so that could be any point in time, but is there like an age? And I'm not, for me, it wouldn't be like 21, 25, 28. It would be like 42 or something like that.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If I could freeze my age. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, there's that temptation to be like, well, if I could go back to a more prime age. But I think a part of me is like, I don't want it to be immortality. I'm fine to continue to age. I just want to freeze all time outside of myself. And I don't age while time is frozen. I'm really rules learning this superpower. But that's what happens of like, because if you had the superpower to freeze time, but you aged, it would be like, I would show up. I would get the superpower. I would show up for the next episode of Force Center, and you would all be, the hell happened to you? Because I would be like 78, because I would have kept freezing time and like, you know, learning to sail and going to Jamaica by myself and then be like, how old are you? You know, like, so with freeze time, it'd have to be that I don't age while time is frozen, but then when I go back to normal time, everything ages normally.
Yeah, but I like it. But then, you're also helping the world, like you said. So we'd be like, you know, hey, you look a little older, Joseph, but the world's great right now. Things are good.
It's also a dangerous one. If like I alone can freeze time, that also just means a lot of alone time. Kind of a nice superpower, but it's also a curse, you know, where you could just be like, you're at a bar and maybe the conversation is like, I'm getting a little bored. You freeze time. Like, that's not good. That's not good socially. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. So a lot of ways to take it. Yeah.
Makes me Bewitched. Remember that show Bewitched?
Yeah.
Didn't she freeze time? Mm-hmm. I think she could. Mm-hmm. I mean, generally it was because people were going to discover that she was a witch. So there was, it was never for like the greater good. It was just people can't find out my secret. Maybe I'm like a witch.
Mischievous.
Not a superhero per se.
Yeah. Who's your favorite Darren? Dick York or Dick Sargent?
Ooh. I don't know. That's a good question. I like them both. Who's yours?
I think it was York, the later version. I like the later version.
Yeah, the later version was good.
Okay. Yes. The later dick was, yes. A fine one. A fine one. Jennifer mentioned flight. Ken, do you have flying fantasies?
It would have to be hovering, flying it, but falling's always been my thing, right? Like, I love going, but I have that fear of falling more than heights, which is a thin dividing line. So long as, if I can get up there and guarantee that I'm not coming down, sure, that's great.
Yeah. I love that all of the superpowers you're listing sound just like things that our moms did. Focus and hover. Okay, I guess my mom's a superhero.
Yeah.
I would love to fly. It'd be so great. Just the feeling of freedom. Man, when there's an open freeway, it's the closest you get to flying, right? There's nothing like it.
Yeah.
All right. Any other superpower thoughts before we take a quick break?
No, I don't know what kind of superhero would have hyper-focus ability. Like, what would you call him? You know, that's the problem. And the outfit would be real bland. Oh, yeah. He's in an office suit, a navy blue suit for work.
Taskmaster is taken. So, but that would be a good one. Yeah, yeah. We can brainstorm more on our superpower names. Productivity Queen is Jennifer's.
Yes, yes.
Superhero name. Yeah, Freeze Guy. Sure. I don't know. Anyway, we are going to take a quick break. We'll be back with another break.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And we are back. We have been talking superpowers. Now we're going to talk super technology. This is a very specific episode of Questions of the Other, because we're talking about power, fantasy power. Now we're going to talk about real power, technological power. This comes to us from Chris King. Chris says, hello there, Ken, Joseph, and Jennifer. My question to you centers around technology and your perspective of its advancement. Chris says, I was born in the year of 1999, and I often joke to other people that this was a perfect age for me to be born in, as I remember some of the things that are considered older while also being exposed to the new. Even when I was two or three, VHS were still a thing, computers and TVs were boxes, landlines and phone books still existed, and cell phones were just ways that you called people. Flash forward 20 or so years, OMG, where does the time go? And we have TVs that just become flatter and clearer. Phones are talking devices, computers, and cameras in one. I can search directions and time to destination, GPS in a second. There is virtual reality, de-aging, dangerous AI that can and should be questioned, etc. You all were born much earlier than I and have seen likely an even bigger change. So I ask you, how do you three feel about how much technology has advanced? What is your experience of it all from when you were just a toddler to now? What are the pros and cons, and what crazy advancements that were once were only dreams do you think will become a reality in the next 20 years? Sorry, I realize I am cheating and asking many questions in one. This is just too juicy of a topic to me, and I hope it is for you as well. Keep up the great Other Center work, and thanks for the A's to my Q's. Thank you, Chris. This is a great multifaceted question. It is lots of questions in one, but it is one big question about technology and how much it changes. We always try to be honest, really starting out talking about Star Wars, of how much, you know, what you see first, what the world was like, what other movies were popular when you first saw Star Wars, how that affects our view. And I love that that has continued, that honesty about how our different ages affect our perceptions as we continue to talk about lots of different things. It's great to hear from somebody born in 99 feeling as attached as Chris does to analog, because I think I sometimes feel like analog has already passed more than what Chris is describing. So that's I love getting perspectives of people who are grew up at a different time than I did. So Ken, let's break these questions down a little bit. What is your, we'll talk about pros and cons, we'll talk about advances, but I want to start with just your perception of how much technology has changed over time. What do you feel about how much it's changed for you and how much it's changed?
I feel it's weird to go back and look at how fast it changes and how normal it becomes. And Chris, you're right. You're a little younger than us. So you don't remember going with your grandma to a chain restaurant with a name that was essentially a racial slur and going in the smoking section. That was the time that you look back on was like things change. Change is good. And I go back to like the iPhone. This is a great conversation about the cell phones. I remember when I just started like a new gig in the public safety business, it was like my first week was the iPhone release, and we had a lot of people there. We had an Apple store in the mall and everything. And I just go back to that moment of, you don't realize that nothing will be the same again after this, right? There have been Blackberries. I had a Palm Tree, all that stuff, but like that is a defining moment. And it's weird to think about that stuff. It's weird to get time has no meaning, but that big watershed moment, it was a Friday. This phone is out. My friends were showing me it. But to now, I barely remember that change. It just seems like it's always been there, which is how this all works. And how, when you ask me how I feel about it, I just feel like it's hard to even comprehend, because it just all feels normal now. And you forget that, you know, I remember driving to the bank with my mom. I'm in the car, and she had to go through that drive-through teller where you had that, you know, the air vacuum thing. You
Put the money pneumatic check, tubes.
Pneumatic. It's before you know it, it's an ATM, and you never look back.
Yeah, no, it changes fast. Jennifer, what's your perception of, for yourself, for kind of our generation, of how much things have changed?
It's interesting because Chris says that he feels like he was born at the perfect age of 99. And I'm like, I feel like I was born at the perfect time where I got to experience both lands of the modern technology and the cape person. But and I was trying to figure this out recently because I'm like, I'm feeling really overwhelmed and stressed. And it's because everything is on my phone. My kids' teachers, we're on these different groups. They communicate with me electronically. I get all these emails from schools and from, you know, spam and my auditions, and everything I do is on my phone and it's constantly pinging me. And I'm like, I think that's why I'm feeling so overwhelmed and stressed, because there's never a break. Back in the day, you'd come home, you'd get a break from that. Maybe somebody might call you on the phone, right, on your landline, but you could always lie and be like, or just not answer, right? Now everyone knows they're going to either email you or they're going to text you. And if you don't respond, what's going on? Why haven't I heard from them? It's just, as somebody once said, like the electronic leash, right? I feel like I'm always tethered. And I don't know, I think some people do really well with that. And I see people who are able to fire off texts and emails, especially younger people, like nothing. With me, I compose it like a letter. Dear so-and-so, right? And so, that's where I see my past catching up with me. But age is no excuse, because my dad, you know, is in his 80s, and he is teaching me about Photoshop. He's using AI to create photography. There's no excuse. It's just that he's taken the time to learn it. He enjoys it, and he sees it as something exciting. He welcomes the change. And I think that that's the challenge as you get older, is to embrace the change instead of being afraid of it.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, no, and I think it's I think it's such a big question of, you can't just be like, nothing should ever change, you know, only communicate with me with facts. That's just, it's just denial, right? But then there is also a responsibility to go, how am I being affected, or how is society being affected, and which changes are valuable and which changes aren't? You don't want to just resist all of it, but also, like, I love the way our conversations with random questions sometimes dovetail together. When you're talking about, like, you know, what would your superhero name be if you could focus? It might be Captain Don't Have a Phone. I mean, I'm sure there's stuff going on with you and it's personal, but it is also, we are being trained to not even just multitask, but just sort of uber task, all tasks, always. You are always accessible and you should always be doing multiple things. And I, you know, I feel that there's some days where, like, I can work on a script. It's going to work better if I'm entirely in it, but I'm going to write one page and then I'm going to check 18 social media apps and, you know, do this, because I'm just going to accept that my brain has been, you know, separated into all these little tasks, and it just needs to be running 8 things at the same time. And I think it's fine to say, you know, you don't want to be so crusty of, like, every kid should know how a compass works. Like, you know, but that's different than taking a step back and going, is that the best way for us to interact with one another? Is that the way we want our minds structured? And I think for me, that's the biggest change in time. Of, I remember watching specifically the Super Friends cartoon, and they would always get video calls, and Superman would be like, there's a problem in Poland, Batman, and be like, wow, they can, you know, and especially being relatively young, moving away from the extended family, of like, well, what if we could call Aunt Kathy and just see her face on a phone? That's impossible technology. And now we have FaceTime, and I do not want to use it ever. So there's that, like, oh, wow, things that I never thought could happen. But I think the biggest change is, for me, is that moment where it's changed, in my opinion, from technology being a digital version of things that already existed. It's kind of like a joke now, but everything was e-something. It was email. So it was like a letter, and you did used to start with dear so-and-so, and you did sign off and use punctuation, and it was a letter, but on the computer, so it's faster. And you did go to the bank, but it was now an e-bank, and you did all those things. And I was thinking about, like, when did something start to emerge that was its own new beast, its own new creation that wasn't just one-to-one? Even like blogging was sort of like, well, it's a journal, but it's public, you know? Right. And I think really with social media and Twitter in particular, of like, you can pin Twitter to lots of analogs to the real world, but it became its own monster. It is, you know, even LiveJournal, literally a journal. Mm-hmm. But Twitter was, it's kind of letter writing. It's kind of a conversation in a bar. It's kind of every human on earth having a billboard that they can put over the 7-Eleven just yelling whatever the hell they want. But all combined, it has become something new. And I think that's, to me, like the most fascinating change of just going from, there are things that used to be analog, like cameras or, you know, a compass. And now they're all on our phone or, you know, maps. A phone.
Yeah.
But now social media is, it's this new beast. And I don't think we still have reckoned with it and what it's doing to us.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's okay and fair to ask, right? And especially here, we talking about change in Star Wars, and it's so big to us. And Jenna, you have some great points. I was trained on an iPhone by an employee of mine who was 25 years older than me, right? He was the one going, all right, let me show you what an app is. All right, that's, and I was the one literally arguing with him going, this is stupid. I told him, his name was Al, I go, Al, this is stupid. I don't even want to use this thing. And he's like, that's foolish. Why? Why would you say that before? Let me show you it. So I think it's an age thing, and I'm laughing because you're a mom. So that's a mom text email energy. I think, Jen, you're going to have to face that fact because I'm always telling my mom, stop texting me 4 paragraphs with 19 questions. That's not how text works.
Right.
I'm on text message all day, mom. Give me one, follow it up. But Joseph, to your point, I think it's fair. It's not just as simple because it sometimes gets boiled down to, we don't have connection anymore. Yeah. But we can't go back. So how do we build that? Because it is affecting all of us and how we interact with each other. The phrase, we're not built for this, is I've heard a lot. Mm-hmm. I think I've said it. This past week, I was, you know, I do a news show now with our buddy Alden, and there's so much news and so much of it bad, and that's not new. That's every week in history, but it was so vibrant that I just couldn't process it, and that's because it's that 24-second cycle that every day, and that is what you're saying. That is different. It isn't just I go to eBank Town now. It's convenient. I need a restaurant. I go to an app. That's a good thing. But when you have 92 restaurants, that's what you need to talk about. And that's, I think, an important part of the change conversation. I think you're right to ask that.
Yeah. Filtering, you know, all the noise. So going to pros and cons, I'll throw this out there that for me, I think one of the big pros of the technology we have is communication is better. I think it is amazing that people can FaceTime, you know, when my father's passed, it was incredibly wonderful for her to be able to FaceTime with her mom in those moments. I think as we have all talked about the ups and downs of Twitter in particular, there's lots of bad connection, but there's been lots of great of it is incredibly powerful to me to be able to hear from people all over the world and what is their perspective, what is their lived experience, and have them, it made me a much more empathetic person. I thought I was empathetic and I didn't even realize how much more empathetic I needed to become in hearing people's, no, here's what is exactly what it's like from my lived experience is great. It's amazing. I kind of love that sometimes you'll have a friend say, I'm moving away, and they'll be like, well, our friendship is almost entirely online, so I'm kind of sad, but also we never managed to get that coffee. So, you know, it's different, but it is still connection. It's not like it used to be like, well, they may move to Toledo. They're gone forever.
Gone.
As opposed to, cool. They'll have some different restaurants that they take their selfies in. So I think there's a lot of communication that is good. That's a pro to me. How do you both feel about the pro of communication?
I'm right with you. I'm literally living what you just described. A good friend of mine is possibly moving to another state with his wife and their new child. And he texted me that, and I had that like, I haven't seen you in 2 years. And you live in Glendale. Like, I might see you more if I do stand up in where he's going. So yeah, and that's because I'm like, but yeah, it won't change. It'll be the same. You know, we just can't go get tacos as easy as we have. So yeah, I think there's good things about that. You mentioned, I used to, again, going back to the iPhones are stupid, text messages are stupid phase of my life. I'm not comparing it. You just compared a human loss. But when my mom had to put down one of our dogs years ago, had cancer, one of my favorite little dogs, Annie, I got to say goodbye over FaceTime. Mm. And this is like 07, 08 range. And that was one of those moments when I was like, I've still struggled with, I'm always going to struggle with change because I'm naturally stubborn. But like, that was one of those moments of, remember when you used to post on Friendster and MySpace and Facebook that Apple and technology and FaceTime was stupid? Not so stupid now. Yeah. Not so stupid now. And that was one of those like starting to change moments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jennifer, how do you feel? Do you feel it's a pro that there are positive ways about what we're more connected? Because you had some great points about almost being too connected, everyone having access to you and not being able to just say, I'm at home for the afternoon. But do you think there are positives to that level of connection?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, certainly we saw that with the pandemic and being able to FaceTime with family members and do Zoom birthdays or whatever it was, or even just like from my experience on YouTube all these years, is connecting with fellow Star Wars fans. And that's one of the reasons why I started my channel, was because I just felt like I didn't have anyone that really understood how I felt, like in my immediate circle. And I was like, I know that there's Star Wars fans out there, but I'm going to talk to them on my camera. And that's how I discovered so many great people. And I think that it's wonderful that everyone has a voice online. Mm. However, that's also a con, that everyone has a voice. And what happens is you get people that now want to say the most outrageous things because they know that they're going to get clicks, they're going to get likes, they might get monetized, right? More views. Mm-hmm. It also makes it more difficult to understand like who is a trusted source. So like in terms of journalism, we used to get our news from journalists who had ethics, who would try to present things in an unbiased way as best as they could. And now we have people who are literally the most biased, non-ethical people sharing this misinformation. And sometimes it may be unintentional. People may share misinformation because they want to be the fastest. They want to be the first, right? So we're dealing with all this stuff. And I think about my kids and how they're going to have to approach this critically, because they're getting their news from, not my kids, but I know younger people, from TikTok, from TikTokers who, I mean, do they really? I mean, some people, yes, absolutely. They are trusted news sources, and others, not so much. So it's just a lot more to navigate at any age. I mean, look at all the older people that get duped by these scams, right, on Facebook. So it's just a lot. It's just a lot.
Yeah, no, I mean, we were sold the internet as late teens, young adults, our age, is the information superhighway.
Right.
And it is right now, for lots of reasons, really the misinformation or disinformation superhighway. Like Wikipedia, like that, people used to make fun of that, of like, yeah, I read it on Wikipedia. Like, hey, it's multiple people holding one another to account as opposed to this person, you know, spinning plates while telling you the history of this geopolitical situation. Everybody's just like, I heard, you know, plate bozo said blah, blah, blah about this important geopolitical thing. And like, we're just believing plate bozo? What?
Plate bozo. Right. And then they pick it up, and plate bozo now has like been stitched however many times. And it's just, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Pros and cons, huh?
Uh-huh. Yeah, pros and cons.
How do you feel about, for me, social media does provide lots of connection, and I feel like I get to stay connected to friends who are far away. I'm on Zoom. I've been playing an RPG with my old buddy from Minneapolis. It's been great. So we are, in theory, more connected than ever, but there's also a huge loneliness epidemic of people not feeling as connected to one another in person. And I don't want to be at all ableist about it and say, you know, in person is the only way to stay connected. I'm just drawing this thread that technically have all this access to one another that we didn't used to have. And yet so many of us are struggling with a deep seated loneliness. Ken, do you, how do you feel about that? Do you agree with that? Do you have any guesses as to what's going on?
I thought you were going to say, Ken, are you lonely?
And, are you lonesome on this call?
And here's the thing. I'm not. Of all the things I suffer sometimes, loneliness isn't one, because I try to, and you're right, there's a bigger picture, and some folks can't, and some folks have issues and reasons why they might need to avoid direct contact. Totally get it. We always try to do the appropriate amount of caveats here. But I'm someone who, you know, I'm kind of the king of the lunches. Like, you know, even I'll get even mocked sometimes lovingly, but like, I'm like, let's grab lunch, and I do it. There's also some times where I'm like, I'll see you in 3 years, because we're going to try to get lunch and we don't. But it sometimes can be difficult to work out, but I enjoy that. I enjoy a hike with a friend. I enjoy a hang on a patio, a bar at the Comedy Store. I enjoy that because of that. I crave that human connection sometimes, not in a super, you know, deep way all the time, but I like the exchange with the clerk. More than I did. I used to be a little more grumpy at the grocery store. Just don't talk to me. I'm here to get my, but now I'm like, and I'm not, you know, we're not forming a lifelong friendship, but when I, hey, how you doing? It's sincere enough, because it's just like, hi, human, how's existence for you? And that's something I do. I don't want to say I work to make that happen, but when it doesn't happen after a while, I know I miss it. I'm generally actually an introvert, believe it or not. Like, people might not believe, but I could live by myself for a long time in a cave, you know? It is, again, going back to what I said to you earlier, it's okay to ask this stuff. It's not standing in front of progress or change to be like, what is this all doing to us? And what are the answers? I don't have the answers. That's for me. That's not necessarily what everyone else can do or everyone else wants to do. Mm-hmm. We're all in the uncharted territory, I think.
Yeah, yeah. But that's a good argument for just simply making it a priority to the best of your ability and finding out how it fits into your life to make sure to see other humans. Jennifer, how do you feel about the sort of connecting to people, not online, other humans, in person?
I admire you, Ken. I think my problem is that because we've become so focused on interactions online, I have a tendency to just want to be in my home at all times. Like I feel like my social anxiety has gotten worse the more connected we are online. I'm actually having to do more exposure therapy for myself, forcing myself to talk to the Trader Joe's person if I'm a Sprouts, not doing the self-checkout, going and having to interact with the cashier. Like it's weird, and I've never really felt like this before, so this is kind of a newer thing for me. In terms of loneliness, I don't suffer from loneliness, but something I do think about is, like, if you're at home and you see people living their lives, traveling, or if they have a significant other and you don't, or if they have kids and you want kids and you don't, like, it just creates this, I don't want to say FOMO, but just, like, we're always seeing what other people are doing. Mm-hmm. Whereas back in the day, we didn't know if our friends were hanging out without us. We didn't know what parties we weren't invited to, right? Like, it's like, oh, man. Or I didn't know what Gwyneth Paltrow's house looked like, and I see all her incredible kitchen, and suddenly I'm like, oh, man, I wish I had that, right? Like, all these things that are not normal and natural, we're now being inundated with it. And, yeah, you don't have to check your phone. You don't have to check Instagram. But come on. Of course, you're going to check Instagram. And
my favorite is, do you rate a selfie? If you have a friend who takes a selfie almost every time they see a person, and then you finish hanging out with them, like, no selfie. Okay, you don't need to tell the world that we hung out.
Right, right.
Is that because we're so close and personal? Or is it because, like, this hanging out with Scrimshaw is not going to get me any followers. I don't need to report that.
I never take photos when I'm with my friends, and I'm like, oh, I was actually with people. I should have taken photos. Like, people are going to think I'm alone all the time.
I've stopped taking, I used to be a little better, or maybe more annoying at that, of like, photo. I stopped about 3-4 years ago, and I'm trying to get back up to that. So, Joseph, next time I see you, I'm going to take 12 selfies. So
for, you know, Four Center, and we have like a little business meeting of that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but you're good at reminding me to even do that. But yeah, and Jen, I think it's you're speaking to what I've heard a lot of people say of you know, 2020 on, like, we all got told to go sit in our rooms, and if, you know, you cared about other people, you did, and it's a ramping up. That's why We Love Ahsoka has that theme of connection. I think one of the big themes in Marvel's Secret Invasion show that I know is a much maligned show, but it's in this post-Trump world, this post-lockdown world, a lot of people were changed. And when you're trying to connect, you even maybe have trouble trusting who they are now or who they always were because it's been revealed. That's one of the big themes in that show. And that's something we're all going through of just like, how do I people is a concern. And I hope you don't feel alone on that island.
Yeah.
And you might be alone on an island that you took from your daughter, but
it took a selfie with this palm tree, but not this other palm. Yeah. I think there is like the, just like, do we literally spend time in our homes, all that kind of thing. But I think there are other aspects to it as well. I think that there is, that the feeling that, we're not being included, like you said, Jennifer, but also just such a feeling in such a rat race to do too many things like, and that's where I fall down because I didn't quite realize how much of my socialization was entirely dependent on relationships that grew out of performing. And when I'm not performing enough and what I want to do is writing, it's so easy to hole up and not do what Ken is describing. Just make active time and say, this is an equal priority. But instead get focused on the rat race and the comparison game that social media can really lead us to. I also just think that some of the loneliness is not about we're definitely getting into the cons of technology. To me, some of it is not about the literal, how many people did I see? Do they like me? Did they take a selfie? I think there's something incredibly alienating about the way, not even social media, but the way that large companies have built their technology to create walls between you and another human being. And even if you get a human being, you can't actually have a human conversation with them. Sometimes my dad's like, I went here and blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, you know, that person could do nothing but read the script that the computer told them. And you're talking about trying to have a sort of rational conversation with them. Mm-hmm. And like, you can't. A corporation has made it so there is a script so that, like, I think so much of what we're interacting with is like interacting with some like Douglas Adams Catch-22 robot that will not allow us to do normal human flowing things. You have a problem with a program that's nuanced of like, I know how to turn that on. It's that it's doing this one weird thing 10% of the time. I can't even Google that anymore because it's too nuanced and human. So I think that for me is, it's kind of a loneliness, but it's also just kind of a dehumanization that you can never speak to anyone with nuance. It's all this drop-down menu. Call, do it on the app. The app doesn't work. Call the helpline. The helpline tells you to go back to the app. And you're just trapped in these maddening, dehumanizing circles. And I think that is a part of the loneliness, too, that makes us feel like we're in an island and we're not even real. Push a button and nothing happens. Have I lost it or do either of you feel that? I think about that all the time, every day, of just how every interaction is dehumanizing. How do you feel about that, Jennifer?
It's so frustrating. I had this experience because I'm trying to go back to grad school and everything is online. I've tried to call academic advisors because I'm dealing with different programs. I can't get anyone on the phone. I'm having to try and navigate these websites and then enroll and register and become a student. It is so confusing. And I'm like, I just want to speak to someone and ask them if this is going to transfer over. I can't. But here's where the pro come in. Is Reddit. Thank God for Reddit. There was a whole group, a whole subreddit for what I'm looking at, the programs, and all these people are sharing their experiences and we can all come together and share this information of the process. And I'm just like, oh, okay, at least now I can get my questions answered with these real people online because the universities are not going to help me. But yeah. Maybe if I was younger, it'd be easier for me to navigate it. But I'm just like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to do that. I just want to go to the registrar's office in person. Like, please, just someone help me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm being real opinionated, so maybe I'm wrong. But I think that there is a difference between adapting to technology and being like, hey, it'd be really easy to text this information. Just being like, no, I will not text it. I must phone call. Like, okay, great. That's resisting technology. That's entirely different than a corporation like a bank that wants to limit your choices as much as humanly possible. They don't want you to ask human conversations. Mm-hmm. And I think it is change good or is technology good? It's that corporations see value in dehumanizing us, and it is happening more and more and more in every little interaction we have. When we have apps for, you know, the in our building, we have an app for the laundry machine, we have an app for the rent, and like, wow. And it can be the technology. Like, we have a great manager too, so I can just go down and talk to her. Mm-hmm. But before we did, we had a robot of a manager, and it was that you can ask no nuance about the bill or the laundry machine. Mm. The app will do it for you. Well, the app is broken. Well, then it cannot be done. Mm. You know, it's that stuff. That's an active choice by a corporation to monetize dehumanization. Ken, how do you feel about this? My endless rant here.
No, because I really get where you're coming from, and it begs even deeper conversation. Yeah, because I'm someone who's like, if you don't have an app for me or a website that I can contact, and that drop-down menu, I get a little grumpy until something goes wrong, because then you feel what you are talking about, Joseph, right? Mm-hmm. Once there's a little slip, that's where the problems start to pop up. Like I said, I have lost my medical insurance by what I think is a clerical error, not on my part, but Covered California's part. I have to... As of this recording, I blocked out a day for this tomorrow because I know I'm going to have to try to find a human who will listen to me and explain. The message you sent me is wrong. I didn't report that. I didn't change any information. Your letter said information was changed. So can we deal with this? And I'm just anticipating a long, arduous journey.
Right. Just to get to the human, can that human help me? Or how many humans up do I have to attempt to travel? Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where, again, I keep saying it's okay to ask this. Maybe I'm saying it to myself of what is this doing? It's not just simply we're all staring at our screens and we're not connected. It's just that's what's changed. And maybe we find the new ways, and we have to find, we can't go back in this stuff. But like you mentioned something, Jen, and I've always tried to work this into a stand-up bit, and I haven't solved it yet. So maybe, Joseph, you can do a better version of it. But I don't like when someone says, get off your phone. You're right. Look up, see the sun, pet a dog. My email's on here. My phone's on here. My information on my career's on here. My bank's on here. My directions are on here. Everything's on here. I'm not connected to my phone. I'm living. So you got to give me a break.
That's the joke. That's exactly it.
I'll copy. But we set this up, and there's a great convenience to it. I can order Thai food in 2 seconds right now. Mm-hmm. But if they mess up my order, I'm screwed. Right. And in the old days, I wasn't screwed.
Right. Yeah.
So you're right, Joseph. I feel your rant because I know you. You want to face the future. You want to be present in the now.
There are apps I love. It's great. Yeah, but it isn't. Yeah, it's not. Yeah, yeah.
The app ate my laundry money is a different kind of struggle than the machine ate my money.
Right. Yeah. And it benefits the corporations. Customer service is just non-existent now. That's how I feel. And not that I want to speak to the manager, but sometimes you do need to speak to the manager because you need to try and resolve this issue together, right? And like, you can come up with a good solution. As somebody who worked in customer service, I know how important that is for people to feel heard. And even if I can't offer a solution, maybe I can help you in some way. Hey, you know what? I'm so sorry. I'll comp your meal for you. I'm so sorry that you had a bad experience. So you'll come back next time. Now I was just like, they mess up your order on the app. Well, you know, that is what it is. I can't ever get a human to resolve that. So it just gets very frustrating. And I personally don't even like talking on the phone, but sometimes I do want to talk to a person on the phone to get my problem solved.
Yeah, because it's just faster.
Yeah, it's faster than pressing all the buttons. And, you know, Jennifer, like, oh my gosh, it's so frustrating.
Yeah, yeah. One other con that I wanted to mention, because there's a Facebook post from somebody around our age kind of talking in an artist talking about feeling like more disconnected and more disheartened than ever. And a lot of great conversation in the threads about the way all of the various social media has changed. I think, a thing that is happening to all of us, but particularly, you know, wearing the hat of an independent artist, as we all have, that idea that technology has shifted from being a tool. Nothing is a tool anymore. It's an entire world. It's a career, a time sink, a walled garden. So like the three of us have a podcast. This is what we want to do. Then we would like to use technology as a tool to let people know about the podcast. I'm probably going to be starting a newsletter for Substack, which I'm happy to and all that. And it's a good tool. But I looked up some of the basic information about Substack, and all of it's basically like how to make your entire life Substack forever. Here's how many things you should. And it's the same thing with TikTok. TikTok's not a tool. It's a world onto itself. And I think that there's this, again, that's not technology. That's the way technology is being sold. Because, of course, the owners of all these things want us to spend all of our time there and never be anywhere else. But it so goes to what you were saying, Jennifer, about just feeling like frenzied, not having enough time for anything. Because I'm working on a stand-up bit about this, Ken, of like, you know, it's gotten to this point of feeling like, what if you wanted to buy a hammer to hang up a picture? And the hammer is like, no, your whole life has to be about me, the hammer. You have to put all the information about me, the hammer. I have to introduce you to other hammers. You have to upgrade me. By the way, if you ever throw me out, everything you've ever used me to put together will fall apart in your home. The pictures will fall off the wall if you get rid of me. I am not a tool. I am now your entire bleeping life. Like, there's been a massive shift in technology from tool to trap.
And if you stop using the hammer every day, the hammer doesn't work anymore.
Yep.
God, disappears. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Unless you have 87 hammer friends, the hammer doesn't work. Yeah. yeah. And I think that kind of leads us towards the end of our long conversation here, Chris, about our hopes for the future of what we want it to be. I think for me, my issues are not about the technology. They're about the way corporations are using them. And I think part of that is, and you know, this will be controversial for some people. Part of it is more government regulation and demonopolizing. I mean, we're at the cusp where Twitter has fallen apart and people are looking for a different experience. And a lot of people are still, Threads keeps going up and down. People like Instagram, and people just, I think, kind of la, 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 la. Facebook and Instagram are owned by the same company, but those are two of the major ones. Now, a third major one is about to be all the same company. And that basic thing of, hey, if you get annoyed because you buy a hammer that forces it to be your entire life, buy a different hammer. If we can't buy a different hammer because there's too much monopolization, that's what we're slipping into. Because if there was a bank where that was just like, Or healthcare that was just like always a person. How many of us would pay for the person talking when we can't at all because of monopolization? That's the problem. It's not technology. It's how humans are using technology. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm done. Ken, what are your hopes for the future of technology?
I'm with you on that. You know, I understand it might be sexy to argue against deregulations. It seems great, this wide open, unfettered access to your future. But I think throughout the course of history, most regulations were put in place to protect the people from those in power who would trample over them. And I'll side with that. You know, as someone who watched his career be destroyed by the deregulation of radio, I just watched it, and I watched good technology come in and wipe out all the humans in it. And wipe out the career in it and wipe out the choices that we would have. I agree with you on that there. But the hope for the future is that always to look to the next generation. Some of this will be normal to them, but will they look at what happened and say, hey, we're going to make our own adjustments. We want to go outside and pet that dog. We don't want to be Wall-E, not Wall-E the character, but the stuff at the end of the film that they're commenting on. Yeah, I always going to look to the future and not be, and my part of that is to not be someone who stays in the past, but takes what I know, my experiences and my perspectives, and tries to meld them with the future.
That's lovely. Jennifer, what are your hopes for the future?
That's good, Ken, because I'm just like, it's bad. It's bad, you guys. In terms of like, if you want to be an artist or in the entertainment industry, the way that it was will never be the same because of AI. AI has totally changed. Streaming totally upended everything. My life as a commercial actor totally upended that. And now AI is going to completely change everything again. And I just think it feels like if you're an artist trying to get your work out, whether it's literally art or music or just silly videos, like it feels like you're on a hamster wheel, right? Just over and over feeding that algorithm and just chugging away. And nothing, you're doing it for someone else. Essentially, you don't own anything. Like that's what happened with all those Viners, like all their content, just one day gone. Right. I mean, obviously you can have the raw files, but like the community, everything that they built up was gone. And I think that's what's so scary and why I'm like, maybe I should start buying DVDs again, because these streamers could yank it from their platforms. And this is stuff that I never, ever, ever thought about. I think that there's a lot of wonderful things. I'm getting into card making because I'm finding that subreddit and I'm learning all sorts of things that I would have never discovered. That's the fun side of it. The bad side of it is, as an artist, it's just like, oh, I don't know if anybody will see anything. But that's why I'm going to grad school. So I'm going to try and that's why I'm going to try and see social media as just something fun and not my whole world, because that's where I feel like it just becomes so frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah. I think to end on a more positive note. I was talking about my own rants, not yours. You ended on a positive note. I'm going to grad school is a pretty positive note.
I'm not in yet. I hope to.
Well, with Reddit on your side, how could you not? You got all the answers you need. Yeah, I think I need to, I get really upset about it, because I think that that dehumanization is just really, it's insidious. And my hope is that, as Ken emphasizes, the next generation, that next generation will say, these are the parts of being connected that feel good, that grow empathy. What do we want to choose out of what we're being offered? We want to choose the parts of technology that can encourage empathy and connection. So my hope for technology is teleportation, because that will literally increase. Then you really won't care if your friend moves to Toledo. Like, cool. Yeah. I mean, that's a whole thing of what would teleportation be like in real life? You think airport lines are bad? The tube portal lines.
No liquids. No liquids. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other thoughts, any other predictions about the future of technology, Ken?
We will all be on Razor phones within 3 years. No smartphones.
Back to BlackBerry. Any other predictions from you, Jennifer?
No, I think that there'll be wonderful advancements and hopefully a lot of wonderful things that happen medically for people. Yeah, some of this other stuff. Oof. Yeah. A little scary.
Yep. Hope for huge medical advancements and the superpower of teleportation for everybody. All right. That is our look at this big question from Chris about technology. Ken, where can people find us?
Here are our hammers. This is our collection of hammers. We're on Twitter at Four Center Pod, Threads as well. Facebook page is Four Center Podcast. Instagram over there is where you can find us. YouTube, don't forget to subscribe. We got the live show December 15th. Podcast available on Acast, iHeartRadio, and more. Just search. You'll find us. We hope. We'll see. Merch is available at tpublic.com/user/4center. That's when you're outside. You can go outside in a shirt that says 4center. Patreon.com/4center is where you can support us directly. Follow me at Ken Napsok. Go to KenNapsok.com. Jen, you're right. It's tough to put stuff out there, not because that's hard to do, but it's hard to get people to find it. I'm very proud. I worked very hard this last year on an album of music, co-wrote 7 songs with Brian Teller and Sean Arnold. We call ourselves the Moonagers, and we're releasing these 7 songs on December 15th. Find them on Bandcamp if you want to support us directly, but they're on the other spots as well. And help us break through the algorithm. Help us swing that music hammer. It's out there on my website. Jen, where can they find you?
You can find my adventures in card making on Instagram, YouTube at Jennifer Landa, and TikTok at Jennifer Landa 1138.
There you go. Joseph, you didn't rant today. You spoke the truth. Take it. Take us home.
Swim passion. If you want to connect on social media, which I do not think is all bad, you can find me on Blue Sky, Threads, as I spoke of, Instagram, all the ones I was ranting about. Find me there because connection is good. And it is really nice to stay connected to people, wonderful people in the Force Center community that we've been able to be connected with through technology. Yeah. You could also use technology to connect with my comedy albums on Bandcamp if you'd like. Those Bandcamp sales are really helping me make more films with my production company, Strange Paths. So if you'd like to check it out, you can go to my website, josephscrimshaw.com. There's a big button to lead you to Bandcamp. But that is it. We have aided the cues.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.